Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the book of Isaiah. We are at the 58th chapter, if you'd like to turn over there with me. The 58th chapter, which is, another one of Isaiah's great prophecies and great chapters in the Bible. It has to do with true worship, more than just religious rituals and religious gathering. And I know that's a thing that's very popular even today, the religious rituals and religious, just going through the motions. That's it. It means nothing. It's just we think that we're doing God a favor, but we're really not. Let's go ahead and get right into the first verse. Cry loudly. Do not hold back. Cry loudly. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression. Oh, boy. You know, I've heard many, many preachers in my ministry of over 40 years. Of ministry, over 40, 45 years. And I've heard a lot of preachers. I've heard a lot of preachers say that, you can't tell people sin anymore. You can't preach on sin. You can't preach about sin or about missing the mark of God anymore because they won't listen to it. They won't hear it. Well, that means they have itching ears and they won't hear anything that God wants to tell them, which is truth. They just want to hear what is tickling the ears now. And that's what I'm hearing nowadays is they just want to listen to someone that's going to tell them they're okay. They're all right. They're just a consequence of their surroundings or environment or something like that. You know, you've had bad parents. Your parents split up when you were a boy, and this, we're going to blame them, you know. And the list goes on and on and on, you know. And it's just an excuse for the shortcomings and the flesh. That's all. And I've heard many a preacher say you can't preach about sin anymore. And you can't preach about repentance. But that was the message. That's been the message for so many thousands of years now. The prophet's message has never changed. It has never changed because the people have not changed. If people have changed, then we could say, well, people are not sinning as much as they used to, so they don't need to be told about their sin or anything else. Well, they need to be told to repent and receive Christ as Savior and Lord for the propitiation of their sins so that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and become born again and live and walk after the Spirit, and they'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, these truths have been abandoned in place of many other things. Bless me clubs and bless me this and bless me that and prosperity this and prosperity that. I'm going to get $1 million. You know, you hear it on late night television every once in a while with Peter Popoff. The next day I got a check for $100,000. And, you know, it's all a bunch of hogwash. It's all a bunch of hogwash. Don't believe it. They'll do anything for an offering most of the time. And this is the same guy that had the battery-powered transmitter that was telling him the gifts of the Spirit, so to speak. But anyway, let's get into the study. Cry loudly and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions. In other words, tell them their transgressions. Tell them their sins. Tell them. And tell them to repent and to turn to God. That is the message. Repent and turn to God. Because most of the time, people are going the devil's way. they're going the way of Satan, and they need to be told every once in a while that you know what, you need to be turned around and you need to go towards God. And to the house of Jacob, their sins, tell them their sins. Yet they seek me day by day. They come to church. They go to church on a regular basis. They have a Bible on their dash. They're wearing a suit and a tie sometimes. And they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. In other words, well, let's get this fasting done, just in case it's going to help us. And rather than go God's way, let's just get this, let's do a fast to lose a little weight. Let's do a fast to, get a little more healthy or something of that sort. Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive all your hard, your own workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. It is a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself. God is desiring a humble heart. He desires a humble heart more than he desires sacrifices and fatted calves and red heifers and doves to be slaughtered. He would rather have obedience. And what is obedience? Obedience and not to commit sin. And I know you probably heard it before, but God keeps telling us that to repent, 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 turn around. In other words, change your mind. Don't go the way of the world. The way of the world will lead you to hell. The way of the world will lead you to hell. Just remember that. What's highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. And that means anything, anywhere. It doesn't mean if you're in a mega church or wherever. What's highly esteemed among men, most of the time, will be an abomination unto God. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. It is a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself. Is it not for bowing one's head like a reed? Bowing one's head like a reed. In other words, you're not stiff-necked. He being often reproved and hardeneth his neck. In other words, he won't bend his neck. He won't bend to God. He won't bow to God. It would be suddenly destroyed, and that without a remedy. And that is the kind of stiff neck and hard-headed stubbornness that will get a person in big trouble with God. It is for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose? Is this not the fast which I choose? Now, listen to me. If you want to find out what kind of a fast that God requires, I'm going to read it to you right here in Isaiah's chapter 58. To loosen the bonds of wickedness. To loosen the bonds of wickedness. In other words, sin just runs out your eyeballs. Sin just runs out your mouth. Sin just runs out your ears. and you listen to sin, you speak sin, you look at sin, you walk in sin. And this is the fast that God chooses to loosen the bands and the bonds of wickedness, because you can become a slave to it. A slave is one that is just can't do what God wants. He only does what the devil wants. And that is to lie, to cheat, to steal, to do whatever it is. And it's wrong. Loosen the bands, the bonds of wickedness. Undo the bands of the yoke. And to let the oppressed go free. To break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry? And bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, I'm so good, I don't even have to look at myself. I don't even have to examine myself. But Paul said, let every man examine himself, whether he be in the faith or be a reprobate. And I believe each and every one of us could fall into this category and examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith or if we're a reprobate. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. After this fast, or during this fast of fasting sin and fasting the repressive attitude and the high mighty and almighty way that many people fast, and but yet they keep their attitude, lose the attitude. Lose your attitude. You know, I know you probably never heard that one before. Lose your attitude and God will hear you. A lot of times we have such an attitude that we cannot even humble ourselves before God. But when you lose your attitude and hide not from your, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. You want to get healed, don't you? You want to be healed? This is the way to do it. To get your healing, sometimes this is the kind of fast. Read it over and over and over again in Isaiah 58. It'll tell you the kind of fast to get healed. Sometimes healing doesn't come easily. So we have to do what God says in order to get our healing. But this doesn't necessarily mean that you're living in sin or that you're doing a sin. But it's just a way sometimes that we evaluate ourselves. And we evaluate ourselves in many ways, in every way possible. Because, you know, the devil will creep in like a little scorpion. A scorpion can go through the smallest crack. And you wonder, how in the world did they get in there? It's like, this is a waterproof, or this was airproof, and they got in there somehow. The devil can get into the works, and you don't even realize it. You don't even know how he got there. Your recovery will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Oh my goodness, I've been wanting the Lord to answer me for so many years. You know, many people say that they're trying to get an answer for something for years and years and years. Well, here's a way. Here's a way that we may be able to touch God. And I'm not saying that everybody should do the same thing or anything of that sort. Or if they're sinning, I can't be the judge. I'm just saying this is some way to evaluate ourselves. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you'll call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. How would you like to have that? Here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. Oh my goodness. Has anybody ever had an apple out of that bag? The pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. That covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? That probably covers more ground than anything around. the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. You need some strength to your bones? I'll tell you what, this is powerful. This is unbelievably powerful. Well, I'm going to have to leave you there. We're out of time, but we're going to take this 10th verse back up again tomorrow. Be sure and stay tuned. There's so much here that, you know, we could read over and forget, but I'll tell you what, there's so much that we need to take to heart. Let's take this up tomorrow again in Isaiah 58. We might have skipped over something, and we're going to read it a little bit more again. So go to our website, krciradio.com, and shoot us an email there. It's krciradio@krciradio.com or kevin@krciradio, or just write to us. Also, let us know you're listening. KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.